some green, red roses too. I see them bloom.
Death, destruction, people occupying Wall Street, Middle East uprising, the euro crashing. Are we depressed yet? is there a possible upside? And is our current system structured in a way to create the highest societal good? Our guest today on Fired Up with CJ, Barbara Marks Hubbard, the co-founder of the Association of the Global New Thought, offers a hopeful view on how these kind of chaotic conditions create an opportunity for us to redefine responsible and ethical use of power. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. That was very well stated.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. So when you think of some of the biggies like Occupy in the Middle East, I mean, when you look at that, what are the positive outlooks and opportunities that exist from your perspective?
Well, I think both the Occupy movement and the Arab Spring were uprisings of a yearning for freedom, for democracy, but more than the competitive democracy we now have, particularly in the Occupy movement, they were struggling for what is a new culture that is equitable, that is sustainable, that is respectful of all its members, that is creative, inclusive, and they always were criticized because they weren't clear exactly what they were against.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were against the misuse of financial power and so forth. But even that, I would say from what I was able to gather, was a yearning, not just in order to defeat a certain type of structure that we have, but to create a new culture. Mm-hmm. And it was so maligned by some of the press, particularly Fox News, it was ridiculous. Mm. They tried to, if there was anything about a struggle or if anybody took a drug or anything like that, that was it. Mm-hmm. Missing the enormous impulse of groups rising up overnight, in all over the country and world, you see, that type of media doesn't understand it.
Mm.
They are, I call it the infantile nervous system of the media. They're dead on empathy. They don't catch hold of what's emerging.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're only catching the fear.
They
fear
catch
and
the
terror.
Fear. They catch the conflict, or they exaggerate it. If it's not there, they'll make it up.
Mm.
And they depend on it. And they also have a view of society basically is made up of separate individuals striving to win over each other. So it's very hard for them to see anything that is yearning for a new civilization. They're insensitive.
Okay, here's my curiosity, because I feel that way, and then I think, well, okay, this is just balance and harmony happening, right? This is the natural tension and friction when balance needs to occur. So, there are people like yourself, who fight for the good and the positive, and then there's Fox News and other people who are fear-based. I mean, how do you make your peace with that?
Well, I have an evolutionary perspective, and you have to have a deep time perspective. And you look back at the origin of the universe in a 13.7 billion year effort, and you turn, energy, matter, earth, life, animal life, human life, and you place our situation in that story. You begin to see the pattern that in every type of evolutionary shift, there were crises and problems that were driving the system either forward or toward extinction.
Mm.
And what you see in our current civilization is a crisis that is preceding transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one reason I think this is not just between good folks and different political views is that there is a carrying capacity of planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We are a finite planet system. Let's say we have 7 billion people. If we were to continue growing a population, which isn't possible, but if we were ever to double the population again, we would kill all life on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy, the global warming and the climate change mathematically is showing up as very dangerous, and the financial structures are not stable. So
mm-hmm.
we're facing some genuine evolutionary crises that could lead to the destruction of our environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you see, is not just between good folks and bad folks. Then there are those who are sensitive to what's creative, emergent, cooperative, and loving.
Before you want to go on, I want to actually point out something that I think is so fascinating and wonderful about you. I asked, you know, how do you make your peace with this? And what's so interesting is you even actually seem to make your peace in positive spin on Fox, which you said.
Yeah.
Advocating extinction and people advocating moving forward. And it's unclear, you know, and in some ways, if you were to talk to the people at Fox News, they would argue that you're leading it towards extinction.
I would never say they're advocating extinction. No, I don't think that anybody in their right mind at all is advocating extinction. I think that certain forms of political views of more economic growth, more independence, more power actually leads to the destruction of our environment. That's what I think. I'm never criticizing opposing views of advocating extinction. I don't think anybody is consciously doing that in their right mind.
What I heard, though, what I took away from what you were saying is that, you know, there's forces for extinction and forces of moving forward. It's a matter of perspective on who's doing which thing, right? I mean, Fox would believe that they're moving things forward, and you would
I think that's true. And then you have to have a certain objective, I would like to say science-based understanding, let's say, of climate change or global warming as a danger.
Yep.
And certain things, no matter what your political opinion are either so or not so.
Right.
And let's say the scientific discussion of them is right. Now, there have been global warming phases before in geological time. So it's not only that humans are making some mistake, but this time we're here. We are contributing to it, and it is affecting our environment. And what I like about this is that there are certain facts about it. And as these facts get demonstrated, let's say the waters rise and we have vast migrations and we have the effects of climate change on humanity, it will just show up. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking for is people intelligent enough to not only help avoid it, but to start creating more of clean energy, more of cooperation, more of sustainability. Now, the thing I like about this view is that it's a certain objective quality to it, because we're going to find out. And my definition of evolution, conscious evolution, is evolution by choice, not chance.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm in favor of is as much investigation, as much information as we can get to a new condition. We haven't faced a planetary evolutionary crisis before, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So there really are no experts in how to get through this overgrowth, overpopulation, and global warming. We don't have a full-scale agenda to get through it. But what I've learned from my research is that if you piece together the positive aspects of solutions, you find that there is a pattern of how best to get through this to a world that is more equitable, more sustainable, and more creative.
Mm-hmm.
So by putting forward what they call in evolution a strange attractor, that it's not just that everything's being taken away from us, but that we're being pressed to evolve into a more cooperative and creative world. What about that? What about looking at the purpose of these problems as a driver towards a better world?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that when I read your book, I always tend to think of things, try to spin things towards figuring out the positive, and that was the most best possible perspective for me at least. I mean, you know, you go through life with your own illusionary lens. If you're going to have your own lens on the world, why not have that one? You know, to think like even in the hardest challenges that we face, there is a golden gem and something for, like as you said, our evolution and growth. And in every single time a challenge occurs, as you're saying, it gives us an opportunity for creating something new whether it be a new culture, a new version of ourselves.
Exactly. It's in our personal lives, any crisis that any of us have. I always look in my life for what's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
What more could I become out of this crisis if I could respond creatively to it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that change in attitude changes you and changes your response and changes your life. So you see, this one of the phrases we use in my Agents of Conscious Evolution or ACE training is that if it's evolution by choice, not chance, then you want to be causal. So if you have a crisis or a problem or you're depressed, as I was early on there, instead of saying, oh, I'm depressed or I take, you know, some pills to lessen my depression, or I say, oh, something more wants to be expressed in me, what is it? Well, just that difference in attitude towards depression or towards illness or towards a family upset where the children aren't doing well or somebody has died. I mean, terrible things. You start looking, what is the deeper soul purpose here? Now, this isn't Pollyanna. This isn't saying everything is always good and pleasant. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's very painful. But if you look at the work of, let's say, James O'Dea, when he...
We can't actually go there. We have to wrap up the segment, but we are going to continue talking about this. And I think it's a perfect lead into the next segment is...
Oh, okay, very
how
good.
How do we actually be the change that we want to see in the world? How do we be causal, as you said? So in the next segment, Barbara Marks Hubbard, we will talk about how you can be a co-creator in creating a better world. Join us for the quest of adventure and fun by subscribing to a weekly show on Fired Up with CJ on iTunes. We'll be right back.
Stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper